We're doing the Doshat HaRamban, Torat Hashem Tmima, and we're holding page Mem in the Beit Hayayin edition, and page Chafes in the Chazon Yol edition. The Ran had said that the miracles that happened in Egypt, the miracles of the man, the well, the clouds, all of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the mass prophecy, the mass revelation, all these things are indicative of the fact that God created the world. If you believe that there's evolution, if you believe that the world is just an evolvement, then Hashem couldn't extend the wing of a fly, He couldn't shorten the leg of an ant, because there's an order, there's a natural order of things. But what we see through the miracles of Egypt is that Hashem controls nature, because He created nature, because it's not something that always was, but rather laws that Hashem gave the world, and therefore He controls when these laws applies and when not. The Ramban continues and says, "Umikan tireh achzariyut rosh hafilosofim." Here you see the cruelty of the head of the philosophers. It seems he's referring to Aristotle. V'koshyo yimach shemo. And we see how stubborn he is. May his name be erased. He's not willing to go with the truth. Meaning, the Ramban had said that in Egypt, everyone knew that there were other forces in the world. That it's not only about nature. It's not only us who say that there's the capacity to tap into other forces in the world. There are also sorcerers and other people who know how to tap into different types of forces in the world. But the fact that there are other forces, that the world is not just an evolvement of nature, that already is indicative of the fact that Hashem created the world. You see, there's the capacity to change nature. Nature is not a constant in the world. Now, the head of the philosophers, look at his stubbornness. He's not willing to go with this, even though the truth is that his own philosophy isn't something that's easy to accept either. We find the Kuzari, the Rambam, everyone mentions that technically it's not like the logic of the philosopher is so much easier to swallow than what we are saying. That the philosopher claims the world always was. He asks him, what do you mean the world always was? Why is that so logical? We've discussed numerous times that the first definition of God is that which is external to our understanding of the world. So at least we're addressing the fact that there's something beyond our logic here. The philosopher wants to put everything in his logic, and then he says something which is illogical, as though that is within logic. To say it always was, well, that doesn't make so much sense. We're also saying, what we're saying is beyond our logic. But at least we're addressing the fact that it's not logical. He's saying it as though this is logical. In his stubbornness, that he wants to be insistent that this is nature, and this is the way the world always was, and this is the way it's going to be, he is denying things that the masses have seen, and we know they're true, and they're famous throughout the world. And in those times, in those earlier times, and back then everyone knew them. Because in those days, there was wisdom, and people understood wisdom of spirits, not only natural sciences. Like the different spirits that exist, and they knew how to bring sacrifices to the different constellations, to the sun, the moon, the zodiac. Because being that they were so close chronologically to creation and the Mabul, no one did. And so they made different figures to be able to draw different forces from above. Because even among the philosophers, they have this book which discusses the different shapes that can tap into different forces. They discuss the different forms that can bring down different forces, be it the spirit, be it the speech. It seems that they knew how to tap into different forces in the world. and what the history of how did the world come to this point where they don't recognize the Creator. So what happened was the Greek Empire arose. It's fitting to be learning now in Hanukkah. When the Greek Empire arose, they were really a new empire that didn't have any tradition for their wisdom. Just as the Kuzari explains, that the philosophers, they don't have any tradition. The Kuzari goes through this in the very beginning. He says there was wisdom that was tradition and everyone knew it. And then you had people who were far out, and they only became a nation when they overcame the Persian Empire. And then they developed philosophers who started from ground zero. And when you start from ground zero and you're always discovering things, so, you know, it's like science initially said there cannot be an electric eel until it was proven that there's an electric eel. They brought them an electric eel. Until they saw it, they kept saying it can't be. They gave all the reasons why a living organism cannot have electricity run through it. And then suddenly they saw it. Ah, now they understand how it could be. Up until a few years ago, there was this fish that they found. They said it's from the dinosaur, the ages of the dinosaur. Cannot be that it's around now. And they explained why, according to the laws of evolution, this hasn't been around for millions and millions of years. And Mexican fishermen kept saying that they're seeing this fish. And they kept saying, no, they're imagining it, this, that, the other thing, until finally they caught one. And then they brought it before them. And what could they say now? So then they sat and they analyzed and they thought, this is a story that's less than a decade old. This happened a few years ago. And suddenly they had an explanation how this fish, that's an exception to the evolution of the world, that has all these exceptions, it should have been prehistoric, it should have existed only millions and millions of years ago, but now they have an explanation why it's around. Or at least they say they have an explanation. So that's the way science works. When you start from knowing nothing, and you have to keep discovering everything new, so then you keep evolving. You say, maybe it's like this. And then you live with that theory for a few decades or centuries until you discover that's wrong. You could say the sun is the center of the world and live with that until you discover, hey, wait a second, maybe the earth is the center of the world, or the sun's the center of the world. You know, until today we discover, we send satellites, we know. Once upon a time they thought the world was flat. Once upon a time they thought the earth was the center of the world. Okay, say there. You live and you learn. That's if you're living and learning. But that was the problem with the Greeks, as the Kuzri explains. And then Kamaisha Yadua, that man that's well known, it's interesting that he doesn't even want to mention Aristotle by name. He knew his name, doesn't mention him. Says that man arose, Ve'lo yamin rak b'murgash, and he said, I only believe that which I can sense. V'chipes chochmot murgashot v'kshish kol ruchniyut, and he said, let me find only things that I could sense. And he denied the existence of spirits or any other thing that's spiritual. And he said, everything like that is ridiculous. And the only thing that acts in the world is the laws of nature. Only the things that we can sense. What you see in nature, that's what exists. And everyone knows it's not true. There are other forces at play in the world, and there are people who know how to tap into those other forces. But his stubbornness wouldn't allow him to see this. So that's the Ramban, after mentioning that it was well known, that even in Egypt it was well known that there were forces you could tap into. He goes off on a slight tangent and he says, here you see the stubbornness of Aristotle, that he's not willing to admit that any force exists that cannot be sensed, that cannot be seen or heard or felt within the laws of nature.